This morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I always enjoy coming to church. I like to be in church. I like to worship. Psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to share something with you this morning, just something that's on my heart and my mind. I begin to think about, obviously, July the 4th, the birth of our nation, Declaration of Independence. Thought about what God has done in this country. But this is something that's actually been on my heart for a while. I want to read chapter, it's Psalms chapter number 33 and verse number 12. And then we'll go down to Psalms 128 and maybe read just a little bit of scripture. But I want you to think about something. Does it really make a difference? The question, does it really make a difference if you live your life for God? Does it really matter if you serve the Lord? And I want us to look at some scripture as what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 33 and verse 12. It says this, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It says, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now we know that God chose Israel and God blessed Israel and he multiplied them. We also know that God sent the gospel to the Gentiles. And they received the gospel. And we also know, and I believe, and I want to talk about this a little bit this morning, that God has truly blessed America. You know, if you look at this nation and you look at this country, and, you know, I pay attention no matter where we go, and I watch people. I'm not watching people to see what their hair looks like, or how crazy they're dressed. If you want that, just go to Hiram Walmart. But I watch people to see if they understand. You ever sat anywhere? We went to a place while we were up in the mountains called Huck Finn's, okay? I guess I'm going to call it Top of the River for Pigeon Forge, okay? Y'all probably familiar with the Top of the River. Well, I was in there, and I got to looking around at people. And I like to be around God's people. I just do. I like to be around people that I call the salt of the earth. Okay, people that the Bible talks about. It says it over there in the New Testament. These are they that wandered about in sheep's clothes and lived in caves. They were the people of God rejected by the world. And I look around at people to see how many people sometimes that I can see honoring God with their lifestyle. Honoring God with the way they dress. Honoring God when they bow their head to thank the Lord for that coleslaw and those white beans with the ham cooked in them and the hush puppies and, you know, the catfish fillets and the fries. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking how good God is. But I look around me and not everybody seems to understand that anymore. So I want to ask you the question, does it really make a difference? Does it matter if I live my life for the Lord? Does it really matter if I believe in Jesus? Does it really matter if I live and practice a godly lifestyle? You know, the truth is sometimes if you're not careful and you get to paying too much attention at what's going on, you're kind of like the psalmist in Psalms chapter number 73. And I didn't know I was going to read this. This just came on my heart. But I want to flip over and read just a couple of verses before I go to Psalms 128. But the psalmist, he got to the point that he was looking around him at the world. And he was looking at the prosperity of the wicked. Now, we got to be careful with that. We got to be careful at measuring success sometimes by what you see people holding in their hand. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The psalmist got to the point that he was looking around at the world and he saw how it appeared that the wicked were prospering. And he began to question himself and even challenge himself, what does it matter if I really live for God? Do I really need to be this faithful? Do I really need to shun all these things in the world? Do I have to be so careful with the way that I live my life and the words that I say and the things that I do and the things that I practice in my life? And he got to looking at the prosperity of the wicked until it actually became a conviction in his life. And I want to pick up in the 73rd chapter in the 13th verse. And here's what he says. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. It's almost like this. And I've known people that go through things in their life, and let's just be real. All of us have issues. I really liked the testimony just a minute ago, and it's very true. You know, all these young people, they got their battles too. They're going through things. Sometimes, and I realize this as I get older, and, you know, I look at my boys and the little ones, and I look at these teenagers, and the first relationship that they're in when they break up, and then the first time they really get their heart broke, when they're rejected and ridiculed for not being like everybody else, when they're mocked, and I've seen this happen because they don't live the same lifestyle. And the Bible says in the New Testament that they will think it strange when you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Can I tell you that they're dealing with things different than we did? I can remember when I was in school and the things that I dealt with and the problems that we have. I want to tell you it's worse today. You know, sometimes though when we're, you know, supposed to be seasoned, when we're supposed to know God and know all, you know, we're supposed to know all the verses and we've been in Sunday school our whole life and we know all the scriptures, but sometimes the truth is the battle is so real, the turmoil is so rich and deep in your life that you are actually afraid that somebody's going to find out how bad it is, because if they know how bad it is, you're afraid that your battle will be their problem. In other words, I can't let people know that I'm struggling. I can't let people know that I'm hurting this bad inside, because I'm supposed to be leading others. And that's basically what he said. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. He said, then I understood their end. You know why I sit in a place like Huck Finn's and I look around? And I look at people and it's just the way it is. We're not going to be here forever. We're not built to be here forever. We're not designed to be here forever. I got a brochure in the mail yesterday, and I kind of looked at it, and I flipped it in the garbage, and then I got it back out of the garbage, and I put it in my bag. Thought I'd look at it a little bit more later on. They wanted to tell everybody that if you don't have all of your diseases healed, it's because you don't have faith. I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us we're under a curse. And we're not going to be here forever, but we're going to die, and we're everyone going to stand before God. And when I look around and I see people at all different ages of life, I want to tell you, I don't care if you're 16 or 106, you ought to live your life for God. Amen. Because it really does matter. And it really does make a difference. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. In other words, I was overwhelmed with what I saw in the world, with my battle, with the way the wicked seemed to be prospering. He said, but when I went in the house of God and I saw, there's a payday coming. There's a day coming when every man is going to stand before God and give an account. I want to tell you, it matters. Let's go over to Psalms 128, and I want to share some very good scripture with you. Then I'll try to share just the thoughts that I have. Psalms 128 and verse number 1 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Why is it important to serve God? I want to tell you why. Because he's real. He's God. And the first thing I want, so I want to give you just five areas to consider. Does it really make a difference? Number one, he said, the scripture said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, and I can remember times when I was growing up, didn't seem like you had to deal with this quite as much. But I want to tell you something. Here's number one, the area of who is God. You know, you can go to read in the Old Testament, and there was a place where they went and they had an altar to every god that there was, and they even had one that was to the unknown god. They worshiped everything. You go to India today, we talked about it last Sunday, 30 million gods or however many it was, worship everything. You go to the Old Testament, and they had, you know, they would choose a wood that wouldn't rot, and they would overlay it with gold, and they would set it up and worship it. And we today think we're too smart for that. But if you think you're too smart for God, you're no different than all of them. You're no different than the ones that worship 30 million. You're no different than the ones that built an altar out of wood and overlaid it with gold. You're no different than the ones today that say that God doesn't exist. And the scripture where it says the Lord, it means Jehovah. It is the self-existent, eternal God of the Jewish people. If we understand the writing of God's word, it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is the creator of everything. If we understand the writing of God's word, in John chapter number 1, it says this, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And I'll show you who the Word is in just a minute. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So there's God the Father, and then there's His Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes people say, well, it's okay to say that I believe in God as long as you don't get too particular about what that word God means. Well, I want to tell you, it matters. The question is, does it really matter? Does it really make a difference? It does. You see, the way to heaven is not like a pyramid with many sides and many ways. The Bible is very clear. You will come through Jesus Christ or you will not go. See, Jehovah God had a son, and there's also, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. The Bible specifically says that these three agree together as one. There's something very unique about that. You see, the Holy Spirit, as it says in John chapter number 14, verse number 16, Jesus said this. He said, I'll pray the Father and He give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Then you go to John 15, 26, says, when the comforter is come, whom I will send you unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Now, here's something very peculiar and very much you need to understand. You know, sometimes, and, you know, I went to sign my son up for school, and they told him, you know, and this is the way it is in school. Sometimes you got to take classes that you wonder why you take them. Maybe two-thirds of them. But he might have to take one about religion. They're not going to stand up and tell him that Jesus is Lord. They're not going to stand him, tell him that when you read the Bible and it says the Lord, that's Jehovah God, and Jehovah and Allah are not the same, but they're not the same. And they're not going to tell him this. There's only one religion in the world where the Holy Spirit comes. One. So you can sit in a congregation and you can pray in a mosque and you can be involved in a Hindu temple. You will never feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit come into your heart and speak to you because it does not exist. Those gods are dead. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says this. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word. Remember, we said in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the other is the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You say, well, I don't understand that. My mind can't comprehend a lot of things. Sometimes, and I can't help but be this way, we're riding through the mountains. My wife and I visited a little campground up there that I used to go to when I was a kid. They used to take us up there to a little campground in Cherokee when my mom and dad would take us and we'd go on vacation. We'd go in there, and when it was on Sunday, this is the way my dad was. My dad was a very devoted man to the Lord. We'd get up on Sunday morning, and my mother would fix breakfast. And, you know, it's just something about being camped outside, and you smell that bacon fried. And she would cook that stuff, and she'd scramble those eggs. And while she was doing that, we'd eat breakfast. And then we'd have Sunday school right there on the campground. And we'd worship the Lord no matter where we at. God was a part of our lives. Now, you know, we rode around and we looked at some different places, and we went by the hotel that we went to on our honeymoon 30 years ago, and it's still there. And we went places, and I said, I could remember going here with my parents and with my dad, and I could remember going here when I was just a boy, and I could remember doing these things. Does it really matter? Does it really make a difference? I want to tell you it does. It does matter. And it does matter that you stand for God, because those testimonies and those words that I heard when I was just a boy are like the sounding again of the mountains that are mentioned in the Old Testament, that are the echoes that we hear that ring in our ears that help us to understand how real and how important God is. But I want to tell you, He's one God. You know, in the world we live in today, and it's peculiar, but this stuff's on my mind. We're going down the road, and I'm thinking about this message, and here comes a teenage girl driving. She gets right on my bumper, and thank the Lord, she does come on around. She comes around, and across the back glass says, "May the force be with you." Now, folks, I've never had enough patience to sit through a Star Wars movie in my entire life. I just can't sit there that long. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that think the force is whatever you want it to be. They think the force is any God you want to worship. It's just like they say about a higher power. Celebrate Recovery is about the higher power. It's about God. You go to AAA and they say, if you want to believe that a bowl of spaghetti can help you get over your addiction, it's whatever it takes. I want to tell you, it's not that way. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's Jehovah God. He has no other. He has no equal. Does it matter? I'm going to tell you, it does matter. And it matters in the area of morality. You see, I believe the society that follows God, that follows Jesus Christ, is a moral society. Now, we're living in an age today that they want to tell you that you can be good without God. But I want you to think about this for just a minute. I heard this example. It's a great example. Can you imagine being downtown Atlanta, down there somewhere close to Grady, close to Georgia State University, and it's about 11 o'clock on a Friday night, and you're walking down the aisle, or you're walking down an alley, and you look up and you see four young men swaggering before you. And it's you and it's them, and they're coming your way. Now, I just want to ask you this, and I'd ask any person this question and see what they'd say. Would it make you feel any better to know that they just left a Bible study? Absolutely. Absolutely. And even the world that defies God, that rejects God, that says, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, I want to tell you, the world cannot deny the fact that the teachings of Jesus Christ have changed the world for the better. Yes. Amen. In the area of morality, a Christian society, laws are established based upon God's laws. Even in a world today where people in countries, they deny God and they reject God, they have a level of morality. Well, where does it come from? It's even like this. All morality has a foundation. Then you get into the next question. Well, can you really legislate morality? We do it every day. Here's the problem. The farther that a nation gets away from God, the less the morality looks like God. That's why censorship is nothing more than the opinion of the majority. That's why today what we censor and what we accept and what we allow to be said and heard has changed, because the conviction of the majority has changed. That's why the billboards are different. That's why what's said on radio is different. That's why there's so much garbage on television today. I was sitting with my son the other day and we were watching something. It was some type of Western. That's about all I can find to watch. And he was sitting there with me and a commercial came on. And it was terrible. I don't even want to tell you what it was. Just a commercial. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And my son looked over at me and he said, "That is gross. That's sick." Amen. And you know what I said to him? I said, "Yeah, it is." But you know the problem we've got today? Is we got to the point that there's so much garbage being thrown at you. It's just like the frog sitting in the water pot, and you turn that eye on, and it just gradually gets a little warmer, and it gets gradually a little warmer, and that frog will sit there, and it'll just sit there until it cooks, because to turn the heat up just a little bit, it won't jump out. I want to tell you, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But let's don't forget that the heat's been turned up. Let's don't forget that we're in a spiritual battle. Let's don't forget the devil's on a rampage. And we ought to thank God for the privileges and the blessings that we have. And the reason we have the censorship changes today is because the change in the convictions in the hearts and minds of people. But see, in the area of our morality, I want to tell you, it affects us. How you live and what you believe, it affects you. It'll affect you in your work. And I thought about the golden rule as I was studying this. It's Luke chapter 6, verse 31. It says, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. I've heard people say it's kind of like this. You get them before they get you. I don't think that's what it means. It means treat people the way that you would want them to treat you. And here's a verse that my dad showed me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You see, if you're a Christian and you walk with God, here's the thing that I believe, that it does affect your character. It affects your ethics. It affects your work ethic. I can remember one time my dad, he was trying to teach me, just a young man. He said, if you agree to work for a man for 50 cents an hour, you give him a day's work. Well, nowadays, you say 50 cents an hour. Now, I don't know how many of you have, but I have worked for 50 cents an hour. That was from my dad, so he was trying to teach me. Sometimes people say, well, they're not paying me. I want to tell you something. It makes a difference. Jesus Christ makes a difference in our heart and our life, and it ought to make a difference in our character. And here's what character is. Character is what you are when nobody's around. Reputation is simply what people think you are. You may have a good reputation, but not have good character. Character comes from a relationship with God that affects you to the core. See, it matters. And I believe it matters in our home. You see, here's what I believe about marriage. I believe that marriage doesn't take two. Marriage takes three. And there have been times I've tried to help people or counsel with people. Here's what's very difficult for me as a preacher. I can't talk to you about anything without bringing God into it. I remember one time I was working on a job site, and I was working with a boy. He was a confessed atheist. And I was just a young man. It's before I ever even knew my wife was in the world, but I was talking to him, and you know, every time I'd say something to him, and it's just what I grew up hearing, I'd say, well, if it's the Lord's will. You ever heard that? You ever heard somebody say, well, Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday night. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow night. And he said something. I said, well, Lord willing. He said, can't you leave God out of anything? And I just looked at him, and I thought about it a minute. I didn't realize I'd offended him. Here's what I said. I said, you can't leave God out of anything if you think it's going to prosper. Now, folks, we need to understand that. Does it really make a difference? Do I need to keep coming down here to church all the time? Do I need to keep teaching Sunday school? Do I need to keep being faithful and doing the right things? Does it really make a difference? Yes. How in the world do I think I can make it without the Lord? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25 says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, in my relationship with God, knowing him changes me. And if you know him, it changes you. Knowing God has put a foundation in this country because, yes, regardless of what the modern textbooks say, all you have to do is study it and you'll understand that the people who signed the Mayflower Compact, they were Christian. And they signed that compact looking for a place that they could worship God, Jehovah God, freely. Sometimes people get sideways with me and they say, well, this is America. We ought to allow anything. No, we shouldn't. That's the problem. We've given up our rights. We say it's okay because the majority is this way. The reason we have mosques being built in America today is because America has drifted away from God. The reason we have so much garbage being poured upon us, and you go to places and you have transgender bathrooms, is because America has drifted away from God.
Amen.
And we don't have to be ashamed to say, I believe the Bible. Because this nation was founded on godly principles. I want it in my work. I want it in my home. Here's something else I want. Does it really matter? I'll tell you where it matters. It matters in the area of favor. Now, I don't know about you, but this is something that's very important in my life. I've got the prayer of Jabez written on my wall at work, and I want to read it to you. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10 says, Jabez called on the name of the Lord, on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. And the scripture says, And God granted him that which he requested. Does it really make a difference? I want to tell you, it makes a difference in the area of favor. You know, in my work, I want God's favor. Anything that I do, I don't believe you can leave the Lord out of anything and expect it to prosper. I want God's favor. Sometimes people want to depend on their ability. They want to depend on their skill. They want to depend on what they know. I want God's favor. See, we're living in a world that is under a curse. But I believe there's a curve. And the curve is the blanket of grace that God can put over our lives. You see, it talks about in the Old Testament, he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. See, when I go into work in the morning, I'm going to be praying. First thing I do when I get to my office is I put my head down and I pray. And I'm going to do the best job that I can, but I'm not relying on me. I'm relying on him. I need his favor in my work. I need his favor in my home. See, I want God in my home. It's just sometimes my wife will speak to me and I'll think she's being a little too sharp. So I just say something I shouldn't say. And I stop and I think about it. You're the same way. You come in from work and you've had a rough day and you've been nice to people all day and she's had a rough day and you look at each other and before you know it, it's... But you know what makes a difference? Isn't there times in your life that you are glad that that comforter that we wrote about, that we read about, that Holy Spirit, that he comes and he speaks to you? And he says, you shouldn't have said that way. You shouldn't have responded like that. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've had to do it. Go get my wife by the hand and say, honey, let's go in and kneel down by the bed and pray. Have you ever went in at night to where your kids were when they were trying to go to sleep and maybe you didn't have a real good day and you get down by their bed? Have you ever had to go in and say, I'm sorry? I have. And if you had it, you probably need to. And what we need in our homes, if our homes are going to be what God wants them to be, is we want that favor. That means we want God to put a blanket of grace over us so that we don't suffer and live in the things that we're capable of without God. See, the truth is sometimes in your home, you're going to have storms that roar. You're going to have winds that blow, and it's going to be thundering, and it's going to be lightning. But I want to tell you something. When God shows up, and his favor shows up, and his grace shows up, I'll tell you, yes, it does make a difference to have God in your home. Amen. What about in your worship? Everybody loves a dead church. I remember one time God told me this. I didn't know quite how to take it. I just looked at him. He was a Bible college professor. And we were sitting there in class, and he looked at me, and he said, the average Baptist church will kill you. And I looked at him. Truth is, most of us kind of know what that's like. So when you go into church on Sunday morning and there's nobody testifying, there's no songs that really lift up praise to God, and there's no message to challenge you to be more of what God wants you to be. I want to tell you something. Before I'd be a sissy speaker and not preach the Word of God, I'd just go fishing. I want God to show up. I want to feel His presence. We're not saved by our feelings, but I thank God that I have something that I can feel. I want to feel Him near. And here's something that I have to say, and I don't always like it. I don't always like what the Holy Spirit says to me. But I'd like it less if He didn't. I'd like it less if He didn't convict me. I'd like it less if He did not speak to my heart and let me know where I stand. See, it makes a difference. Remember what we said earlier. You don't get that in other religions. What do you get to do in other religions? Just do your best to work your way to heaven. Because that's the only way you're going to go. I want to tell you, we're not going to heaven because of what we do. We're going because of Jesus. And we become the best we can be because the Holy Spirit convicts us, because God guides us, because God loves us. And even when we fail, He never rejects us, but He welcomes us. And can I tell you, church, that's the way we ought to love one another. Yeah. What about the area of blessing? Is there such a thing? Has God blessed America? Has He? You know, when I run that number a while ago and I thought, well, you know, I've lived that long and it don't seem like, you know, I don't remember the blue coats and I don't remember the Civil War and all that. How much has happened in our lifetime? Some of you have seen a lot more than me, but I've seen a lot. The one thing I know, even though sometimes people complain, people are still fighting to get in this country. They're hiding in the bottom of boats. They're putting them in the back of trucks and trying to sneak them in. I even saw one place where they put people inside of these tubes and tried to sneak them in. And when they opened the tube, it was only the youngest and the strongest that were able to live through it just to get here. Because we still have the highest GDP of any nation in the world. See, God has blessed us in our financial well-being. And I think about how God has blessed us. And I mentioned that little campground. And I can remember going, riding in the back of an old Ford truck, you know, one with a camper shell on it, no air conditioning. How many of y'all would like to drive that to the mountains nowadays? Huh? Passed a law today, you better not have that cell phone in your hand, but do you remember when there wasn't one? Remember when if you were rich, you had one, but it was about the size of my suitcase? I want to tell you, God's blessed us. We complain we don't have much, but I'll tell you, there's probably not a kid in here that don't have on a new pair of Nikes or headed for one for school. Nowadays, at 10 years old, they've got cell phones. We've got more than we know what to do with, and we've forgotten where it came from. Has God blessed America? Yes, God has blessed America. He's blessed our financial well-being. What about our freedom? What about it? I don't like to go to a lot of places because when I get over there, I can't hardly wait to get home. I praise God that I was born in the United States in the Bible Belt. I'm in the parts of the United States, and you look around, you can't hardly find a Baptist church. And hey, can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with being Baptist. Sometimes people ask me, well, what church you go to? And I say, so-and-so Baptist. They kind of... They're non-denominational. They're nothing. They don't know what they believe. That's right. They're seeker-friendly and they want everybody to come, but nothing to be required of anybody. Right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with being Baptist. Don't be ashamed of it. Amen. What about our freedom? We're free. Or I couldn't have said that. I went to Ireland. I just want to tell you this. I'm not bragging about going to Ireland. I didn't want to go. I had to go for work. I got over there, I saw one pickup truck in 7 days. I did not see a four-wheeler. I asked them about some of the things, and they said, oh, no, you can't own a gun here. If you do, it has to be at the club, locked up in a box, and you can only check it out. It can be yours, but you can only check it out when you go. And I looked around. I said, what about the trucks? They said, well, you know, they're so expensive to drive because you have to pay a $2,000 or $3,000 a year road tax just to have them on the road. And, you know, gas was about $7 a gallon. And I said, Lord, where's that airplane? Thank God for freedom. Amen. What about our food supply? Let's just be honest. And I hate this, but it's true. At my house, we throw away as much as we eat. That's just the way we've become accustomed. You know, we go to the restaurant, and I'm getting to the point, my wife and I kind of like this, we say, well, let's just start splitting a plate. Right?
Yeah.
You can't eat it all when they bring it to you. If you do, you're miserable. Been there, done that. We're so blessed. And you go to nations in the world, and we think we're doing them a favor. And I'll tell you something that's stuck in my heart and my mind. It's printed right here. When they came back from Guatemala the first time, and they had an igloo cooler full of spaghetti, and they were dipping the spaghetti out feeding those children. And those children considered it a blessing to be able to have it. That's why even our youth that go and come back, you know why it impacts you? Because you realize it does make a difference serving God. It does make a difference being a place that God has chosen to bless for His inheritance. It does make a difference. It is important to understand that blessed, truly blessed, is the nation whose God is the Lord. And rather than being ashamed of that, we need to stand up and cheer. What about the last thing? What about the area of eternal life? I like to say, and I heard from a preacher, he got on the airplane, you know, this is always interesting. You get beside somebody. You know, I'm an introvert. You know, I don't speak. Y'all don't believe that, I know, but I don't. My wife gets on the airplane. I get on the airplane beside somebody like her. Well, how you doing? What's your name? What do you do for a living? Matthew's the same way, okay? Luke's like me. Preacher got on the airplane. He said, I was sitting there, and the lady turned to me, and he said, started the conversation. He started without telling her what he did. He went through. He said, I'm in the people business. He said, I work with people. I try to help people. I try to, you know, do whatever I can. He said, oh, really? Oh, that sounds interesting. Oh, yes, great. My boss, he's just the best there's ever been. And he said, I want to tell you the retirement plan is out of this world. Can I tell you, folks, the retirement plan is out of this world? Brother Jonathan, I want to be right on time. Right on time. When he calls me, I'll fly away. But until he does, and here's what the devil wants to do now. He wants you to think. It's tough. It's difficult. Does it really matter? Yes. Everything you do for God, it matters. When you get tired and the enemy's pushing on you, we already mentioned, folks, every church is not seeing people saved like we are. And that's not about us. Remember, you ever start thinking it's about you, God will stop showing up. It's not about us, it's about Him. But I want to tell you, it matters. It really does matter. See, I believe God's made a difference in America. I believe Jesus has made a difference in our lives. And I believe it does matter walking with God. Now I want to read this verse and we're going to ask for a song. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, we're blessed. But it could even be more. It could even be more. But you got to want what God has. And I want to tell you, I want it. I want it. I want God's favor. I want God's hand on my life. I want God's guidance. I want God's direction. I want that. Sometimes, like the psalmist, he said, I just get to looking around. Don't look around at the world. We got a goal in front of us. We got so much to praise Him for. We got a great youth group. We got a great church. And we got a great God. And there may be somebody here this morning that just like to pray. Maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Well, you can. Maybe you've been battling with it and you've been wondering, does it really matter? Sometimes when you're the only one, let's just say you're the only one in the home and your family's not trying to do right, and I've heard young people say this, sometimes I just think I might as well just give up and go on and do everything everybody else is doing. No. It makes a difference. Maybe you need some strength from the Lord this morning. I ask if you would to please rise to your feet. We're going to play a song.